Thank you for tuning in for Tune Up with Deb, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association. Now back to your host, Deb Ross.
My guest today is Todd Corrigal. He's the CEO of the Prince George Chamber of Commerce. So, Todd, just before the break, you were just sliding into the conversation a little bit of displeasure about our current NDP government. Ooh, I said it. The current government making it a little difficult and for us to do business the way we have done business and to watch new businesses do new business the way that they have. It's a lot more regulation, a lot more costly. So let's launch further down that prickly sure. path, shall we? So let's just jump right in. Stance on Kinder Morgan.
Stance on Kinder Morgan. So I guess it's a twofold stance on that. I think it's fantastic that the project is now moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very unfortunate that we've been put as taxpayers in a position where the federal government had to buy that project. Basically, what we've seen is some obstructionist tactics in a coalition government to stop a project from moving forward that was in the best interest of the country. A project that, as it moved further and further through this process, we saw more and more people in BC get on board with it. We saw a number of the First Nations who saw the benefits of that project, certainly to their communities as well. So it's challenging when you have to sit back and say, this project, which had passed all regulations, which had been approved at the highest levels, was being obstructed by a coalition government for whatever their reasons are. And now all of Canada owns a share of a pipeline.
Right. That's an interesting perspective.
We are all Trans Mountain shareholders at this point is how I see that.
Wow. I didn't really see that as being part of my portfolio.
Well, it's a growth industry.
For sure. So the Chamber released a news report or news release, pardon me, last week, mm-hmm. which was applauding the federal government for that purchase. Have you received any positive or negative feedback from that release?
We've received a lot of feedback on the positive side. I haven't heard anything negative, and that's not to say that there probably won't be some negative views out there. But what we were hearing was very strongly in support of our stance and that this project should have gone forward. It's fantastic that the Fed stepped up and got it done, but they shouldn't have. They never should have been in that position.
It's amazing to me how much the delay with the Kinder Morgan project affects families. So I mentioned to you that my family's been affected. I've got two of my adult kids who are moving away because the Kinder Morgan didn't go through when it was supposed to go through. And they're highly educated, highly capable young people who were keen to work. And now we've lost them to other provinces. And that's just one family, and that's two adult kids. So I don't like to see viable citizens relocate to other provinces, particularly family, because of course we have that family bond. I want to see my kids. I want to see my grandkids. And now that talent has moved elsewhere, which is great for the rest of Canada. But I'm a little selfish and I'm really not too apologetic to say that. So it is affecting families.
It certainly is affecting families. And going one step beyond that, it's affecting families that own businesses. It's affecting families that run businesses. You know, Prince George is strategically located on the northern route on Highway 97 and on the east-west route on Highway 16. When you look at where these projects are going to be operating, including the LNG projects that will be out in Kitimat, we are strategically placed for a lot of growth, for a lot of transportation to be moving through here, for a lot of warehousing opportunities, for a lot of workers to be getting jobs from here. And that's, you know, our members who are bidding on some of those construction projects are all located here as well. So are they now having to go to different areas of the province to bid on work when they should have been acquiring this work? So now they're going to be separated from their families for longer periods of time too, which is unfortunate. Maybe not as long-term as you from your children, but they're going to be separated from their families as they have to go to further north into BC, maybe into Alberta or into the southern parts of the province to get work.
So you mentioned the warehousing opportunities. That are there other sectors that will be benefiting from the Kinder Morgan project moving forward?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Contracting is going to be huge. I think, again, with the growth in Prince George and with the expertise that we have here based on a lot of the mills that have been around through the days, That skill set is here. And when bidding on projects, having access to that skill set in a regional economy and having access to that knowledge of the region, it's a tremendous opportunity. And so all of those contractors who can bid on those projects will certainly be in for an amiable position in that. Transportation obviously becomes huge. If you have the warehousing, you need to provide that transportation component too. And if you don't, maybe that's another opportunity to grow your business into another side sector.
Interesting perspective. So I'm just going to take a sharp veer away from that conversation into perhaps another ticklish conversation. I'm curious if the chambers of commerce interact with one another across the province or across Canada. Do you have regular communication?
We absolutely do. Ironically enough, 2 weeks ago, I think now, a week and a half ago, we were at the BC Chamber AGM in Kamloops, and there was 300 delegates from chambers across BC that were in attendance there. So there's a number of policy resolutions that get discussed. There's a number of bylaw changes and amendments and really discussions around what's happening in the province. A lot of politicians were there. A lot of the lower mainland media types were there. So it was a good opportunity to connect on that level.
Very good.
There's also the Canadian Chamber, which we're a member of, and they meet annually as well. And I believe that is mid-September this year in Ontario. And again, much like the BC Chamber, it's part of the larger network that will encompass chambers from across the country, where they will talk about more federal policy resolutions and those opportunities.
So do chambers communicate with the Better Business Bureau?
I think to some degree. We don't have a Better Business Bureau here. I think there's a local rep in Prince George, and I've certainly had discussions with them. Very different entities. I think if you look at the BBB, their focus is on best practices and keeping that harmonious relationship between businesses and consumers, whereas the Chamber's role is to advocate on behalf of business to government and to create a more functional, let's call it, environment for businesses to thrive in.
So I've done a couple of programs with the Better Business Bureau related to scams. Mm-hmm. So March was Scam Awareness Month. And so we had the CEO of the Better Business Bureau talking about the top 10 scams from 2017. And I feel sometimes that scams are kind of, we're disattached from the reality of how often these scams hit us. And ironically enough, I did the interview, and the next week I found that a scam had been perpetrated against me regarding the click and collect at Superstore. Mm. Someone had gotten my credit card information, and $1,800 worth of apparently grocery items had been purchased in a week. And so that's a lot of groceries.
Somebody is well fed.
Somebody, apparently it was housewares and not groceries. However, so I was curious if there was some type of accountability that was involved in the Chamber of Commerce with businesses, something, for example, like the Construction Association have sort of an accountability measure within their group. And of course, communication with the Better Business Bureau, just because the scam issue has been just such a prevalent conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we don't have that per se. I would say it's more of a morality clause. You know, if you are doing business in an unethical manner, it's in our best interest to have that conversation and decide if, you know, that person being a member of the Chamber of Commerce is in the network's best interests.
Right.
You know, again, we're a member-based organization, so it's what's best for the whole, not the individual. So we need to be mindful of those occurrences when they're going on. But as far as those issues and scam-related tactics, it's a Better Business Bureau piece, and it's also an RCMP piece.
Absolutely. So what are the benefits to members of the Chamber of Commerce?
There's a lot. I mean, probably too many to name, but there's certainly member-to-member benefits where you can get reduced prices on different products and services through that network. There's healthcare, dental care plans, RSPs that are available, a number of those types of initiatives. I always go back to what I feel is the most important piece of being a member of the chamber, and that's advocacy and networking. Networking from a standpoint of getting to know other business owners in the community and opening up that dialogue about, you know, we're at 5 employees and $5 million in revenue. We're looking to move to $15 million in the next 5 years. having access to people who have been through that process before, that knowledge base, that's tremendously important. But also the learning that we as a chamber team can provide out to our members, whether it be leadership or succession planning or marketing skills, and developing the business acumen on those levels as best we can. And then again, the primary piece from my perspective is advocacy. We need to be consistently focused on what all three levels of government are doing to either help or hinder business, and then have greater discussions about what our voice can do to make adjustments to that or open up the dialogue with those governments.
I'm really glad to hear that not just the chambers within the province of British Columbia, but that the chambers across Canada do communicate with one another. We need our business sectors to be healthy, to have strong communication, and to be very much in communication with government. I think for a lot of citizens, we can, as individuals, lose sight of the importance of business and really be thinking in terms of social change and social policy from an individual perspective. But what sustains those policies is the healthy business climate in our country and in our province and right here in Prince George.
You hear it every time during every election cycle. Small business is the backbone of our economy. And I'm a little bit sore about hearing it so often because it is so true, but the follow-up is more important than the words.
Yes.
We're talking about employment. We're talking about money back into the economy. Small business is a driving force behind the economy and probably the driving force behind the economy. And without them, the challenges are huge. I always say that, a lot of the votes sit south of Hope when it comes to elections, but a lot of revenue generated for the province comes everywhere north of Hope.
I couldn't agree with you more. Todd, thanks again for your time.
Thank you so much, Deb.
Talk to you later.